Joining us in the studio this morning is the UP Poet Laureate, Martin Akitz, who's kind of heading into the home stretch of his position as UP Poet Laureate. But we've got some events coming up this week, and we're going to talk a little bit about them and see what the rest of the year has in store. Welcome, Marty.
Thank you very much. I'm always happy to be here.
And it's always good to see you. You always bring a bit of light and great language with you when you come by. There's an event going on this weekend up at the Calumet Theater, the Red Jacket Jamboree.
Yeah, I've been the first time I did the Red Jacket was in December, and they, for some reason, keep on asking me to come back and come back and come back. So this is, I think, the fourth or fifth time I've been there. But it's this, the Red Jacket Jamboree is a live radio show that's recorded, and then it's sent out to radio stations. People can pick it up and listen to it. And it's sort of like what the Prairie Home Companion was, comedy skits, music, storytellers, and with me, poetry. So yeah, it's been a blast, and it's been one of the highlights, I think, of what I've been doing here as Poet Laureate.
Are you bringing any sort of themed poems this weekend?
You know what? Lena Dory, who is the host of the show, she sort of sends me and asks me for ideas based on themes. And since it's July, I know that there's a summer theme. And I just got an email from her, I think last night, saying there's an armistice theme. So okay. I'm not quite sure what that is. I have to touch base with her. But yeah, so I'm going to be looking for some poems that sort of fit into those themes.
Okay. And do you ever do any last minute writing for an event like this?
There's always last minute writing. You know, I've told you, Hans, before, a poem is never done. It's just due. Yeah. And so you just get the best draft that you can and show up and read it. But yeah, there's always tweaking of scripts, and I've been helping with script writing as well, and I do a little acting, I do a little singing.
Oh, cool.
I haven't danced yet, but you know,
I'm going up for it.
That
they heard that. Ooh, he wants to dance.
Yeah, so yeah, I've been doing all kinds of stuff for them and really been enjoying it.
Excellent. Just a quick sidetrack into the mind of a poet, and especially when you're doing the live readings, when you've written a poem and you're going to be presenting it at a reading, does it ever happen as you're reading it where you go, ooh, and you have these ideas of what you'd like to do instead or add or take out?
You know what? I've actually, as I'm reading a poem, I've done this at other readings where I see a word coming up and I go, oh no, that can't happen. And so I change the poem as I'm reading it.
On the fly,
yeah.
It doesn't happen.
There is such a thing. You know, and that all comes from, I once saw Robert Bly read, the poet Robert Bly, and he was reading a poem and then he came to it and he must have changed the line a little bit, and he stopped in the middle of his reading. He said, wait a minute, I like that. He took out his pen and he crossed out a word and, you know, said, I'm going to change that. So yeah, you know, poetry is a very I think dynamic art form where you just keep on changing and forming. And you know, there are poems that I like to say are done, but I'm sure that in a couple years I'll go back and I'll be reading them somewhere and I'll go, oh no, that's not going to happen.
So when is the Red Jacket Jamboree again?
The Red Jacket Jamboree is this Saturday at the Calumet Theater at 7 p.m. And they tape two shows at a time. So you get one showing from 7 to 8, and then there's a little intermission, and then there's a second from 8 to 9 o'clock or around there.
Right.
And the audience is a part of it. They, you know, we need the audience there to laugh, applaud, stand on their feet and clap for me. You know, those kinds of things. We really enjoy that.
All right. And is it just tickets at the door, or can folks
You can get tickets at the door. You can call the Calumet Theater if you want to also and reserve tickets because it is reserved seating. So, we've been getting some really, really good crowds. So,
okay.
I would really encourage people to come because it's just a blast. And you know, Calumet is a really beautiful city, and if you haven't been there in a long time, you know, you got to go up there and support them because they've been having a tough time up that way for this summer.
And there's a sort of a pre-event going on this week as well for you.
Yeah. Actually, you know, this is the life of the Poet Laureate, a little crazy. I'm doing a reading on Thursday evening 5:30 p.m. at the Carnegie Library in Ishpeming. It's called Rhythm and Rhyme. And so I'm going to be reading poems, and I have a couple musician friends who are going to be joining me, and we're going to be doing music and poetry together. So I think it's going to be pretty special.
You were talking about a Kurt Cobain poem a little earlier.
Yeah, you know, I first put this event on my calendar, it was several months out, and my musician friend said, you know, we do this really good Kurt Cobain song acoustically, and I'm wondering if you could write a Kurt Cobain or, you know, a 27 Club song of all the rock singers that have died at the age of 27. I said, oh, sure. Yeah, I can do that. And I've been thinking about it and then not thinking about it and thinking about it. Well, this morning I actually sat down and started writing it. And now about three or four drafts in, I think I have something that I'm willing to share on Thursday. And so there's a little teaser. I've got a few days to tweak it a little bit more. But so there will be a Kurt Cobain poem.
Okay. Yeah. Great. And that's Thursday evening at 5:30?
That's Thursday evening at 5:30. And then I think I'm heading over to Cognition for a drink as well.
Excellent.
So.
That seems to follow.
That always seems, poetry readings, it certainly seems to follow.
Afterglow.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, well, we can't let you go without you maybe reading a poem or two for us. What have
sure.
you got?
Well, you know, everybody expects me to do Bigfoot poems. So I brought one Bigfoot poem, and then I brought another one as well.
Okay.
So. This poem is called Bigfoot Meets a Homeless Man on Presque Isle. The man smells wild, the way a black bear smells after winter sleep, full of hunger, dizzy from root and dark. Bigfoot can taste loneliness on the man, a sweaty slick of days spent near the big water, hidden in pine, rooting through garbage cans for leftover French fries, brown apple cores still sweet and seeded, hot dog buns gone chlorophyll green. Bigfoot knows this man will die soon, has seen it before when moose with brainworms stumble off by themselves, or one eaglet shreds a feebler eaglet to get more perch and salmon from their mother's beak. Even this close to lights and cars and houses, survival is all about being bigger, stronger, hairier, scaling trees for nested eggs, scooping silvery spot tails from superior surf, tearing haunches off mewling fawns. Bigfoot wants to help the man who has wandered onto this rocky thumb surrounded by wave. Wants him to feel wanted as soft leaves or a run of smelt. As the man beds down for the night under a rib cage of branches, Bigfoot knuckles one tree, knocks, knuckles again, knocks. He does this until he hears hollow, then scratch, chatter. He plunges his hand into the tree, extracts a panicked squirrel. Bigfoot snaps its neck like a cricket leg, holds the carcass to his chest, breathes the last pulses of its pebble heart, then grunts an ape prayer of thanks, a sound like a mother giving birth under a blazing comet to something necessary, needed. Bigfoot leaves the squirrel at the man's sleeping feet, where he'll find it in morning light. An offering of meat, blood, fur, to remind the man that the world loves him. Second poem I'm going to read for you is a poem I wrote for my father, who I just recently lost in February. And this one is called The Quiet Man. Last night, I dreamed my dad and John Wayne were sitting around a campfire eating peaches out of a can. Stars thick as cattle herds milled above them, and the prairie grass hummed some sweet old song like Red River Valley or Shenandoah. I'm not sure if it was heaven, but my father was young and perfect, the hook of his back as straight as a railroad spike. Duke was young, too, the retired prize fighter who chased Maureen O'Hara through green Galway countryside. There weren't any Nazis crawling along the ground in ambush, no Richard Boone-faced kidnappers, skin leathery as buffalo jerky, trying to steal their sleeping horses. I'm not sure if you can smell in dreams, but I remember smelling manure and smoke and something else. Maybe the coming of rain? My dad and Duke didn't talk, just forked golden crescents into their mouths, looking as if they were eating solar eclipse after solar eclipse. Their forks made hollow cowbell noises in the dark. When they were done, they tipped the cans to their lips, drank the syrup inside until it ran down their chins. I kept waiting for something more to happen, a runaway stagecoach to crash through, or a baby elephant nosing for hay. Instead, my dad took a deck of cards from his pocket, started dealing. They played gin rummy, hand after hand. My dad let John Wayne win, because he was John Wayne, and because that's what my dad did every morning with my mother for years and years. He did it because it was a habit of love. Maybe that's the name of this movie, Habit of Love. It starts out simply enough. Two cards dealt face up, the King and Queen of Hearts.
UP poet laureate Martin Ackett's reading a poem about his father, and before that, Bigfoot. Marty, thanks so much again for stopping by, keeping us up to date on your busy, busy schedule as UP poet laureate.
Thank you, Hans. I'm always happy to be here and have a good laugh with you.
All right.